Your voice.
Your station.
Let's walk the talk.
702 Summer.
You know, Toby Shapshak, it was close. I almost defriended you on Facebook. It was very close.
Ray White, I do apologize. I was not sleeping. I just had my phone on silent. So I was playing Lego with my son on the floor. But so, firstly, Happy New Year, Ray.
Yeah, to you too. Don't you just hate it, though, when you stand on those Lego pieces? It's not fun.
Oh, there's a really funny meme that went around. It's a picture of a great white shark coming out of the water, like the top half of it with its mouth open, and the caption says, rare photograph of a great white shark standing on a piece of Lego. I mean, let's talk about Lego, because Lego is a fascinating thing, whether you're an adult or a kid, and they've done some very clever stuff where they've you can make an R2-D2, of course, my favorite character from Star Wars, but a whole bunch of other things, and you can control them with an app. And part of the process is to teach kids how to build things and control things. Robotics, obviously, is going to be a big trend for the next couple of generations. So kids knowing how to program and control things is a pretty good starting point, because I suppose the biggest trends we're going to look at this year are, you know, for certainly for people, is how do you learn things? How is education going to continue? You know, how we're talking about the cinema. You know, there's been a huge outcry. I mean, I'm desperately waiting to see the new Dune film. The director of which has openly attacked his own production, the people who produced the film, his own producers, to say it's madness that they want to release it for streaming at the same time as cinema. So people are saying, you know, he's saying, well, you know, this is a movie created for the big screen. You've got to experience it on the big screen, and he's angry because they're releasing it to streaming at the same time. I think that kind of model's gone. I really struggle to see how cinemas are going to survive for another year. I mean, we've got at least another year before we all get the vaccine, probably two, you know, for South Africans.
It's funny you say that, Toby. Sorry, just off, maybe on topic. I've just got a tweet from the Chris Harney Baragwanath at the Academic Hospital. Did you know it's the first in history of the hospital for the trauma rescue area not to have a single patient on the 1st of the 1st. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, that's something. You know, while we're going grossly off topic, when I was at the Mail and Guardian years ago, I went to Hillbrow Hospital on the last Saturday night that it was open. It was closed down very controversially 15 years ago, it must be even longer. And I spent Saturday night at the Hillbrow Hospital in the trauma unit in the ER, and that's, you know, that was just one Saturday night. So, but then again, my issue with the government banning alcohol is it's another reflection of the failed, you know, policing. This is not a health issue. This is not an alcohol sales issue. This is the fact that people feel a sense of impunity because they can drive drunk, they can get smashed in a tavern or a pub or a wherever, and pick a fight, and there'd be no consequences because there are no cops around. Sure. So that's a side story. Let's talk about the good things.
Yes. Now, you were saying movies in June and things like that, and I kind of agree with you.
I think we're all going to stream stuff now. You know, most of the audience going middle-class audience for TV, for movies, have got very big monitors or TVs at home, and I think that's the kind of future of entertainment. The biggest form of entertainment is already gaming. Gaming is huge, much, much bigger than Hollywood. I mean, some famous gamers can make money from streaming their gameplay. There's a service called Twitch. If you're over 30, you've probably never heard of it. If you're under 30, you probably spend your whole day watching it. And Twitch is a gaming service where you just watch people game. Amazon bought it for nearly $1 billion a couple of years ago. So it's a massive, massive gaming and entertainment thing. And of course, if we look at the kinds of skills people are going to need in life, and this is a big thing for us. I look at what I learned at school and university compared to what I do in my day job. I mean, I studied English literature because I love English literature, and I did journalism because my mentor, the great John Brett Cohen was a journalist. So I thought, okay, well, that sounds like fun. I mean, I run a business, and yet my only, you know, academic qualifications are English literature and journalism. So who knows what life skills we're going to need? And I think that's the focus for so many people this year. What can we teach our kids, the kinds of skills they need for this future? We don't know what kind of job they're going to have. We don't know what jobs are going to be available. I mean, Ray, 10 years ago, there was no such thing as a social media manager. You know, now it's an essential part of every organization. This is the changing nature. The one thing I can say is that what we really need are the skills to be able to do different things. And I think that's how education is going to shift in the next few years.
Because we do know, Toby,
skills focused.
Exactly. We kind of know that, number one, we've got this COVID-19. And listening to the professor today speak to us, this thing is specifically in this country is here to stay for 2021. This vaccine's not coming for everybody because they haven't made a sufficient plan, according to him. So our kids are going to have to go online. They're going to have to get into another world that, you're quite right, in the 1980s, we didn't even sniff.
Yeah, I mean, I look at how education has changed. I mean, when I went to school, the teacher spoke to you, wrote something on the blackboard, and made you copy 5 pages out of the geography textbook that night. That's going to totally change. We're going to, you know, hopefully, kids are going to self-educate, read up the night before, and then go to school the next day and debate it. But that's just the one thing. I mean, in fact, we're looking at this stuff in very specifically. We're doing a series of webinars of what are the skills that kids are going to need and what are the skills that parents are going to need, Ray. You know, like my son's 3 and a half, and I know that when he's a teenager, his social interaction will not, almost certainly not be in the playground, at school, in a physical place. There's no such thing as a games arcade anymore. All of that stuff's going to be online. If you look at how teenagers now communicate, they play, they don't even use the messaging channels us adults use. They use a channel called Discord. You know, I guarantee no one without a parent, unless you're a parent of a teenager, you've also never heard of it. But that's the future of these things. How will we want to look at what do parents need to know to teach the kids? You don't need to know everything. I mean, I'm dreading having to teach my son algebra or maths. I mean, isn't that like the greatest thing about finishing the trick? I'm sure everybody feels the same. I never have to write another maths exam again in my life.
But you're actually quite right. It's quite challenging being a parent.
Indeed. So the most important overall technology trend for the whole year is cybersecurity. And I can't stress that enough. I sound like a crazy person, Ray. I am so paranoid about cybersecurity. And in fact, I've been paranoid about germs and hygiene for years. I traveled about 15 years ago during the second major SARS outbreak, probably a little longer, 17 years. And I have been washing my hands, not touching doors, walking around with sterilizer in my pocket, hand sanitizer for years. So finally, that part of my paranoia, I'm no longer like a crazy person. And it seems that people are starting to understand cybersecurity. And the analogy I always use is when you buy a house, I mean, it depends on, you know, which part of Joburg you live in. You build a high wall, you put on an electric fence, maybe some razor wire, you know, you put on some beams in the garden, you put on burglar bars on the windows, you put in a few machine gun emplacements, you hire private security, you know, you get a big dog. Most people don't do the same with their personal data privacy and security. So they have this house called their smartphone. The smartphone doesn't have any locks on the doors. It doesn't have a wall around the property. Same with computers, and people steal our data and our information and can use it to exploit us. I mean, the cost of a South African identity is about 50 US cents. Add a credit card detail, add some more, and it gets more valuable if it's an EU passport or an EU credit card. This is what's going on personally. We've seen in the rise of capitalist surveillance or surveillance.
So
capitalism.
What do you do with this then, Toby? What do you do? How do you protect yourself? How do you bunker down and get your machine guns ready?
Absolutely paranoid. So I've got a list, Ray, and I'll tweet it for you so you can tweet it to the listeners.
Yeah, but great.
The first thing you've got to do is have a very secure password. Never have the same password for the same service. And the way you get around that is you download what's called a password manager. You don't need to remember all of this stuff. Your password manager will do it for you. So lots of people will use Apple Keychain. I prefer to use something called LastPass, one word, LastPass. But there's several others. There's 1Password, there's Dashlane. And all of these password managers store all of your passwords for you, and you've just got to remember your master password. In fact, if you have a laptop with a fingerprint reader, it will recognize it. Same with your phone. Your phone will use your face or your fingers to unlock it. You just got to remember the master password and write that down on a piece of paper. Don't ever save it digitally. I mean, depending on how paranoid you are, you can put, you know, a piece of paper in a Ziploc and tape it to the bottom of the toilet. So just as long as you do that. The second thing you have to do is turn on what's called two-factor authentication. Don't be confused by the words. A factor is just your first factor is your password. Your second factor is very often an SMS. Please move away from SMSs, people. It's possible for that to be intercepted. So very often when you hear about bank fraud cases, it's an insider at the bank and at the cellular operator because they need to intercept that SMS. So you have what's called authenticator apps. Microsoft makes one, Google makes one, LastPass makes one, and you can do a variety of those authenticator apps. So they give you a code, six digits when you want to log in. That's a much more secure way to do it. I've noticed that F&B no longer sends you an SMS. It says you have to log into the app on your phone.
But the guards are there. The guards certainly are there. Now, hold on. We got a topic again. Now, okay, passwords, tick, box. Now, Groovy's Gadgets. That's why I want to talk to you this morning. Groovy's Gadgets. What have you got in a nutshell? Take us through three of your Groovy's Gadgets. We did Lego. What about those? What Lego, about phones
Lego.
And stuff?
No, we won't include Lego. That's not fair. Look, the gadget that I love the most every year is my Kindle. And every time I bring out a new Kindle, I buy myself a new Kindle. And my wife, for a while, didn't understand, and she didn't take an upgrade for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I gave it to my goddaughter, and I gave one to my mother, and then she was like, I see there's a significant tech upgrade. I read a lot, I read vociferously, and I've started reading a lot more publications on my Kindle. So the Kindle is always the best thing. I think anyone can get it. It's a great single-use gadget. You can only read on it. You can't stop and suddenly play a game of Tetris. You can only read on it. That's my favorite gadget. Most people are obsessed with their smartphones and like to take good pictures. I've started using a really clever thing called a DJI Osmo Mobile. I have the number 3, but there's already a number 4. And what it is it's called a gimbal, and it kind of looks like a kind of crazy gun-like thing. You hold it in your hand, and you put the phone in on the top, but you use it to control the phone. So you can take really cool videos. The camera's really stable. I obviously shoot a lot for TV and for YouTube. So use that. That's a really, really cool device. About 3,000 rand.
All right.
For the whole kit. That's like tremendously useful. And then, I've been gaming since all this stuff came out. You know, Nintendo brought out this really amazing thing in the 80s called Game & Watch. I don't know if you remember them. Donkey Kong was a game.
Oh, yeah. Mario Brothers.
And for the 35th anniversary, Nintendo came out with a little watch and game remake. It's tiny. It's the size of a credit card, a little bit thicker. It's got a couple of buttons. And you can play all of the original Mario Brother games. But I was most delighted to discover there was a game called Ball, which I'd completely forgotten about. It was a very early kind of Mario-looking figure, and all you do is catch a ball. But it was so basic and so rudimentary.
Very often it's those smaller games that just get, you know, keep you going for hours. You don't have to have the massive graphics, just Ball.
Snake. Look how fantastic Snake was for years and years and years. You know, Ray, one of my favorite technology stories wasn't last year, but it was in the last decade. There was a famous game made called Flappy Bird, which was so insanely difficult to play. Yeah. And it was instantly successful, and a million or, you know, tens of millions of copies were sold.
Sure.
And the guy who did it got freaked out by his success. So he shut it down completely. But I wear a Fitbit Versa 2 smartwatch, and I noticed that you can get a version of Flappy Bird on your phone. So you can even play Tetris Flappy Bird on a smartphone. I mean, that's the world. We live in the future, Ray. We're having these conversations by smartphone. Think about the last year. How many grandparents or older parents or parents or older people had ever heard of Zoom or video conferencing or how to use it?
It's a whole new world. Toby, we'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. I could chat you the whole day because we've got so many gadgets to go through. But go back to your Lego with your son and just don't step in a piece, I promise you.
Sean.
Lovely. Thanks, Toby.
Happy
go well.
Happy New Year, Ray. Happy New Year, everyone.
You too. Cheers, Abe. It's Toby Shapshak. He's our tech analyst.